start in Proverbs 23. So we're getting close to the end of this Proverbs study. And after that, we'll be going back to the Psalms. But we do have at least a couple more here to go in Proverbs before we're going to leave this study. But this is study number 17 that I have entitled Wisdom at Home. So we're still speaking sort of broadly on the subject of the family in Proverbs. So wisdom at home. We'll start here with verse number 22. Hearken unto thy father that begat thee, and despise not thy mother when she is old. So we've talked about this at least a couple different times, I think, as we've been in this study, that there are certain assumptions that underlie the wisdom sayings in Proverbs. So as you look at the book as a whole, you start to notice sort of, you might call it the setting, and sometimes maybe the target audience and so on. So there are some certain assumptions we need to be aware of. Three primary ones in relation to family in Proverbs. There's an assumption that young men will marry young women and that they will have children. There's the assumption that children are born without wisdom and need instruction and correction and training in wisdom. And there's also an assumption that the home is the central place of wisdom training for children to grow up. So these are just some of the family assumptions. And again, if we think of Proverbs as primarily being wisdom directed to young men, those who are just reaching those stages of life where they are, making life decisions and sort of gaining some independence and that sort of thing, well, obviously then that makes a lot of sense that Proverbs has that flavor to it. Now, having said that, though, we don't want to just think of Proverbs as, well, you know, this is an instruction manual for raising children, because it's not. I mean, the wisdom of Proverbs is not that narrowly confined. There's much in there that relates to families and men and women and husbands and wives and mothers and fathers and children and all that sort of thing. There certainly is a lot in there. But think, and just like when we talked about wealth in Proverbs. So one of the things that we talked about with wealth is that Proverbs never offers us some sort of 12-step program for guaranteed financial success. All right, that is not in the book of Proverbs. That is not the way that wisdom teaches. Well, it's the same thing when it comes to families. So we don't have any sort of 12-step program, that guarantees the raising of wise children and not fools. So we have to understand the way that wisdom works, and we've talked quite a bit about that even at the very beginning of this study. So those are just some things to keep in mind as we think about various things and sayings that would pertain to family and home life. So in this particular study, we want to consider how that Proverbs speaks wisdom to the family at home and toward the effort of teaching wisdom to children. All right, so first of all, we need to realize that Proverbs teaches us that children are born this way. All right, so Proverbs chapter 22 and verse number 15 says, "Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him." So despite the wisdom of the parents, or even the folly of the parents, children are born without wisdom. That's just an established fact, the same way that you and I were born. So children are born without wisdom and in need of wisdom and training. And so we can see how that Proverbs repeatedly admonishes the young to heed the wisdom of father and mother. So especially especially this comes out repeatedly in the first nine chapters of Proverbs, but just a few places. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. So this is the beginnings. Like Proverbs chapter 1, verses 1 to 7 is sort of like the introduction to Proverbs as it starts out. And you get to verse 8, and it's now diving in. So it reads this way: "My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother, for they shall be an ornament of grace unto thy head and chains about thy neck." In chapter 2, beginning at verse 1 and going through verse 5, "My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Chapter 3 and verse 1, "My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments." Chapter 4 and verse 1, "Hear ye children the instruction of a father and attend to no understanding." So there's a number of these calls to hear and to heed wisdom that speaks specifically toward parents, toward mother and father. Heed the wisdom of mother and father. And that's not only at the beginning of Proverbs. We can find that later in Proverbs as well. So when you think about these calls to wisdom, you realize that there you have that underlying assumption, don't you? That children don't have wisdom naturally, and wisdom is something that they need. And there's this repeated call that goes out to hear and to heed, to listen with understanding, is that word that is used for hear, as it means. And there are also many warnings in Proverbs about the results of not receiving wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 20, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." This is obviously a child that has grown and has not learned wisdom, has refused wisdom, and has embraced folly. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse number 26, "He that wasteth his father and chaseth away his mother is a son that causeth shame and bringeth reproach." Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 24, "Whoso robbeth his father or his mother and saith, it is no transgression, the same is the companion of a destroyer." In Proverbs chapter 30 and verse 11, "There is a generation that curseth their father and doth not bless their mother." And of course, when you read that, there's a group of sayings actually there in chapter 30 around that verse number 11 that speaks of the generation that is proud and that's arrogant, and obviously that is reflected in their attitude toward their father and their mother. So there are calls, repeated calls, to receive wisdom pertaining to parents and children. And there are also repeated warnings about not receiving or refusing wisdom, about embracing folly involving parents and children. And there's all, when we think about the foolish children, one of the things that Proverbs repeatedly brings out is how that they are a grief to their parents. And ultimately, when you think about that, the implication is that wise parents are grieved by foolish children. Foolish parents aren't grieved by foolish children, really, but wise parents are grieved by foolish children for a whole lot of reasons. But let's read some of these. In Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 1, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish son is the heaviness of his mother." Proverbs 13 and verse 1, "A wise son heareth his father's instruction, but a scorner heareth not rebuke." Proverbs 15 and verse number 20, "A wise son maketh a glad father, but a foolish man despiseth his mother." Proverbs chapter 17 and verse 25, "A foolish son is a grief to his father and bitterness to her that bare him." So obviously, Proverbs teaches us that wise parents are grieved by foolish children, and what that shows us is that wise parents don't lead to wise children always or necessarily. In other words, parents can pass on various genetic traits, eye color and hair color and various things like that, but you cannot pass wisdom on that way. Wisdom doesn't come that way. Proverbs teaches us that wisdom is something alien to us. Wisdom is something we don't possess. And so wise parents, even with their best efforts, doesn't necessarily guarantee that their children will be wise. And so wise parents are grieved by foolish children. But on the other hand, wise parents are also those who rejoice in a wise child. And some of those statements we've already read show that. A wise son heareth his father's instruction. A wise son maketh a glad father, and so on. So what we see from this is obviously wise parents rejoice at wisdom. I mean, foolish parents are not rejoicing at wisdom. And remember, we always have to remember that wisdom in Proverbs, it is spiritual. Wisdom in Proverbs is referring to the wisdom of God, not talking about raising a business leader or raising someone that's good at managing money or raising these other things. And those things are fine enough in themselves, but when wisdom is talking about parents rejoicing in a wise child, again, that is spiritual. That is not just sort of wise in the ways of the world sort of thing. So parents that are wise parents and good parents can produce children that are wise, or they can produce children that are foolish. But parents are responsible to teach wisdom and to correct folly. And Proverbs is plain about this, and when we look at instructions to parents that we get in other places in the Old Testament, even in places in the New Testament as well, I mean, obviously this is a consistent message. Parents are responsible to teach wisdom, to instruct their children in the ways of wisdom, to guide them in wisdom, to correct their folly. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 11 and 12. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth. So wisdom tells us here that God does act as a father to his children. And a part of that involves the correction and the discipline of his children when they are erring. And it's compared to that of an earthly father. And this is obviously a wise father. It's a father that delights in his son. And a father that delights in his son, it is understood in Proverbs that he's going to be one that's going to correct his son. Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 15, we read a little bit earlier. Foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs chapter 23, verses 13 and 14. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with the rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with the rod and shalt deliver his soul from hell. Proverbs chapter 29 and verse number 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. All right, so we're not getting into all the things that's going on in all of those verses, but nevertheless, we have this underlying charge that parents are to correct, they are to instruct, they are to teach, they are to guide, they are to lead, they are to set an example in all of the ways of wisdom and in the correction of folly. So on the one hand, Proverbs makes plain to us that wise parents can produce wise children, they can produce foolish children, but regardless, parents are responsible to guide their children in the ways of wisdom, to teach and instruct and correct as necessary. But ultimately, every person is responsible for how he or she responds to the instruction and correction of wisdom. In other words, you or I or anyone else cannot make someone embrace wisdom. We can't force them. And we have verses, and I didn't look these up, but we have verses that talk about the hopelessness of trying to correct a fool, one that loves and embraces folly. And you have images like you can beat him with a mortar and a pestle, and you know his folly's not going to depart from him, and all of those sort of things. In other words, there is a certain folly that is incorrigible. So while Proverbs obviously teaches that parents do have this responsibility to guide and correct and instruct and to love and to teach and to do all of these things in an effort to bring their children to wisdom, they can't make their children wise. There's not a pill they can give them or a potion they could drink or anything like that a parent can just make a child embrace wisdom. So ultimately, Proverbs teaches us that every person, every individual, is ultimately going to be responsible for how they respond to the instruction and correction of wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 to 33. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me, that is wisdom, shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Proverbs chapter 9 and verse 12. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt bear it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse number 17. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Proverbs 19 and verse 3. The foolishness of man perverteth his way, and his heart fretteth against the Lord. So the first principle that we see coming out in these wisdom sayings regarding parents and children. Obviously, the parents at home have this responsibility of teaching, instructing, correcting, guiding in wisdom. And ultimately, how that a child responds to that correction and instruction reveals wisdom and folly. Those that receive reproof, we're told, will increase in wisdom. And those that refuse reproof, they will harden in folly. So, secondly, we want to think about wisely teaching wisdom. In other words, how do we teach wisdom with wisdom? Well, wisdom must be taught with wisdom, and that means, first of all, recognizing always what is the true source of wisdom. The true source of wisdom is not our life experience. Now, having life experience, we can observe and learn, and we've talked about some of these things earlier in the start of this study, that yes, there is a certain amount of wisdom involved in learning from life experience and even observation. But the true source of wisdom is not our life experience. The true source of wisdom is God Himself. This is where wisdom comes from, and this is where we must seek wisdom. So Proverbs chapter 2, verses 1 to 5. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hid treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. A little bit later in Proverbs chapter 8, verses 32 to 36. Now therefore hearken unto me, O ye children, for blessed are they that keep my ways. This is wisdom speaking in Proverbs 8. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whoso findeth me findeth life and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. So when we understand first of all the true source of wisdom, that it doesn't come from within us, and the true source of wisdom is not the experiences that we've gained in the school of hard knocks. The true source of wisdom is God and His Word. So when we understand that, then that means that wise parents are those who are going to be continually seeking wisdom from the Lord. Those who understand where it comes from, and we have to understand where it comes from in order to properly direct their children to it. And as all of those who have raised children for any length of time have discovered, that children test you in ways you've never imagined. Sometimes simply just asking you questions, things you've never even thought about, having various situations or problems or various things that come up, and you know, as parents, you just don't immediately have the answer to everything. You just don't. And so understanding where the true source of wisdom is means that wise parents, in order to teach wisdom wisely, are going to be continually seeking that wisdom themselves. They're continually seeking, they're humbling themselves, continually seeking that wisdom from God, seeking understanding, seeking His direction. So in order to teach wisdom wisely then, we also have to understand what the natural state of the child is. The natural state of the child. Now, we've already seen Proverbs chapter 22, verse 15. We've read a couple times. We've already seen from that verse alone, and there's other places in Proverbs, that the natural state of man in general, which would include all children, and we're all born that way, is devoid of wisdom and bound up in folly. It's just the natural way that we are born. So wise teaching will account for this natural bent toward folly. There's something in our inherent depravity that gives us just a bent toward folly, away from true wisdom and God's righteousness. There's something that folly is just our natural preference. And so wise teaching means that we understand that natural state of that child. And I know that, children are so cute and all of these things, and they look like this parent or that parent or whatever, and they're so precious and remind us of this and that and the other thing. And all those things are true. We love our children, obviously. But at the same time, teaching them wisely means understanding that they're born sinners just like you and I were before them, just like our parents were before us, and their parents, and on and on and on, all the way back to Adam and Eve. So Proverbs chapter 20 and verse 9, who can say, I have made my heart clean, I am pure from my sin? So as parents, wise parents understand that we're not free from all sin. We're not free from the problems of depravity, and our children aren't either. A child doesn't merely have a lack of information. They do have a lack of information, but that's not all of the problems that they're born with. Children are born without wisdom and born with a sin problem, just as all of us are born. And so teaching them wisely means understanding this. So when we consider this larger section at the end of Proverbs 1, start at verse 20, go to verse 33. Wisdom crieth without, she uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief place of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, how long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called and you have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but you have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel. They despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices. For the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. So we have, in this passage, we have a lot of warnings to heed wisdom and to reject folly. And those who do not heed wisdom will suffer the consequences of refusing that wisdom. So when we think about what Proverbs is saying to parents and about children and to children and such, we realize that the problem for children is not primarily environmental. Now, that doesn't mean that environment is not important and that environments cannot be a problem. They absolutely can. But it's not the primary problem in terms of wisdom. The first order problem for all people is their own heart within. Think about how Jesus talked about that it's not the things that goes into your mouth that defiles you and makes you unclean. It's not eating with unclean hands or eating what by the law was considered unclean foods. Those are not the things that are defiling you. What's defiling you is your heart. And it's out of your heart within where lies and sin and evil thoughts and all of these things come from. And that's just as true of our children as it is of everyone else. So the problem is not primarily environmental. And there can be environmental problems, and obviously those have to be taken care of and considered and addressed and so on. But that's not the primary problem with a child or with anyone else. But their primary problem is what comes from within them. So wise teaching then recognizes this and is primarily concerned with the heart. So in other words, you could go through Proverbs and you could teach your children about diligence. And that's an important lesson. Hard work, a good work ethic, the dangers and the consequences of slothfulness. Those are good lessons for children to learn, obviously. You can go through and you can go through Proverbs and you can teach children various principles about handling money, about saving and about spending and not spending foolishly and doing all these kind of things and not getting in foolish entanglements and get rich quick schemes and all this kind of stuff. You can teach all those kind of things so that they handle money wonderfully. But if those are all the lessons that we give our children, or those are the lessons that we give primary emphasis to, then we're missing it. We're not teaching wisdom with wisdom, because wisdom is first and foremost going to be geared toward the heart of that child that is the seat of their problems, their primary seat of problems. So Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Proverbs chapter 5, verses 12 to 13. And say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. And again, Proverbs 22:15, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Well, the heart in Proverbs refers primarily to the inner being of the person, more of what we might think of as the mind. It involves the intellect and the emotion, the will, and all of these things. It's not just purely an emotional thing, as we tend to think of the heart today. That is not the way that this term was used in Proverbs or really in cultures of that time. So in other words, that's not to say that the various practical lessons in the book of Proverbs are not important. They are important, but that shouldn't be all that we teach to our children, and it shouldn't be the primary lesson that we teach to our children. We should always have that understanding of who they are by nature, who we are by nature, what the true source of wisdom is, and always be speaking to and seeking the heart of the child and leading them to wisdom. All right, so children, again, children don't inherit wisdom the way that we inherit other genetic traits from our parents. We can't, our children can't inherit wisdom by endowment the way that they might inherit the parents' estate. Children do, though, on the other hand, inherit sinful depravity. They do inherit that. They are born with that. And wisdom teaching at home must not neglect the reality of inherent sin within each of us. So wise teaching at home always points to the Lord as the source of true wisdom. So we'll end here with two verses. Proverbs 2, verse 6. For the Lord giveth wisdom. Out of his mouth cometh knowledge and understanding. Proverbs 22, 19. That thy trust may be in the Lord, I have made known to thee this day, even to thee.